Welcome, welcome everyone to another special edition of Technical Talks, where we're technically just talking. I want to introduce our very special guest here today. We have our very own head strength and conditioning coach of the New York Knicks, Richard Williams, and the CEO and founder of Triple Impact Coaching, Arvin Mosley Jr. Before I get into this, I want to make sure I let both of you know that I chose you both to be here because the respect level for me is through the roof through both your journeys, from what I've researched and what I've spoken to you both about. The energy and the impact that you both have in the community is something that needs to be commended. I make sure I let everybody know that we give flowers at the beginning, not at the end of somebody's journey. So I want to make sure that everybody knows that you both deserve your flowers, and you both deserve those flowers along your path and your journey as well. So I'd like to thank you both.
Thank you.
Mr. Williams, if you could go ahead and give the audience a little introduction about yourself. Tell us who you are.
Well, I'm a Texas kid, born and raised in Dallas, Texas. Went to Duckerville High. Played basketball, like most people, most kids in my neighborhood. Wasn't good enough to go to the pros, so my dad told me, "Son, you got to find a job." So, kind of fell in love with the, when I was in college, this guy used to come up to our facility and work us out, and I was like, "Man, what do you do?" He's like, "I'm a personal trainer." I'm like, "Oh, that's cool." Like, what does personal training? And he's like, "Well, I work you guys out," and they pay me a little small percentage to work you guys out. And from there, I just kind of gravitated to, the weight room and working out and learning more about the body. And, just God bless me one day to meet a special guy in my life, Steve Hess, who was the strength coach with Denver Nuggets at the time, gave me an opportunity to work under him. And, I started that when I was, I believe I was 21, 22, and I've been in the NBA ever since then. I'm 45 now. That's my journey. It was a fun journey, but that's kind of how I got into strength and conditioning from Steve in Denver, and it landed me in the LA with the Clippers, then Houston Rockets, and then now with the New York Knicks.
You're on mute, Dre.
You're on mute.
Yep, get off mute. Absolutely, absolutely. As I was saying, yeah, that's an amazing journey, amazing journey. Moving on to Mr. Mosley, kind of give the audience a brief synopsis about yourself.
Yep, I'm a Tacoma guy, Puyallup guy, born and raised in Tacoma and in Puyallup, Washington. Played 4 years of college basketball. I knew at a pretty young age I wanted to coach, right? That was something. I had two dreams. I wanted to be an NFL running back, and I wanted to be a high school PE teacher and basketball coach. I thought that was the dream life, and I played football for a few years and got hit in the knees a few times. And I said, I don't know about this football thing, right? I was blessed to play 4 years of college basketball. I was an assistant coach, and I'll never forget. I had one of my old English teachers. She looked at me one day. And I know what she meant. I wasn't offended, but she said, "You know what? You're too smart to just be a basketball coach." And I said, "Huh? Okay." Well, I wasn't quite sure what she meant, but I knew she was giving me some love. And so she said, "You need to go to graduate school." So I went to graduate school, got a master's in teaching, got hired. I thought I left. I was done with Tacoma Puyallup. I'm out of here. Got hired back in Tacoma. Was a head coach at TCC, Tacoma Community College. Got fired, which happens to a lot of us coaches. Got hired at Evergreen State, got fired after a few years there. And one day a buddy of mine says, "Hey, I got some kids at a gym. You want to come, can you come watch this basket for me? Can you just keep an eye on a basket?" I said, "Man, no problem." I went and did it. And that was kind of my first workout where, someone paid me to work some kids out. And I just, I haven't had a real job since 2014, my man. I've been in the gym training kids, and I carved out a niche. It's real competitive at the top, where Richard is at. I kind of look at it as a triangle, as a pyramid. And at the top is Julius Randle and Derrick Rose. And then at the bottom are these kindergartners and these first graders and these second graders that don't have a foundation. And my kids were young at the time, and I said, well, I can train, my kids can come with me. And I just have grown, and now I'm probably one of the only guys that consistently trains kindergarten and first and second graders, and I've been doing it now for going on 7 years.
Awesome. That's amazing, you know, to actually, well, it takes a lot to want to coach, but kids is a different animal.
Yeah, buddy.
It's a whole different animal. So, you know, I admire your perseverance and your patience in that, because it does take a lot. And it's something that's definitely needed. When you say that, hey, we want you to be more than just a coach, that starts right at that age. And having that mentality when you start coaching is important, because we do have a lot of coaches that don't, simply put, that just don't. Right. So with that being said, since we're talking about teaching, Mr. Williams, I want to get into that. 21 years in the game. You know, one of your passions you've expressed previously was, you know, teaching people to teach.
Exactly.
Talk about how, for you, learning has evolved in the past 21 years when it comes to specifically strength and conditioning.
Well, I think it's the one thing about strength and conditioning that's kind of evolved, which I think I'm starting to love more and more, is the we're thinking past the norm of weight room and lifting heavy weights, right? We're thinking towards like training the mind, training the feet, and training athletes, even at the professional level, to be aware of their bodies, how their body moves in all these different planes of motion. So as a strength coach, in this whole evolution of how strength and conditioning is applied to not just, you know, it's funny you say, well, Julius Nim is at, and Derrick Rose, they're at this level. But you know what's weird? A lot of those guys at their level are still learning about their bodies. And they're still learning how their body moves and the things that they can do. Because you think about it, at this level, it's about taking advantage of every inch of talent that you have. So the teaching goes to teaching them every single movement about their body that they didn't even know they had. You know, so it's just this whole teaching of how we train our minds, how we train, like I say, our feet and everything in regards to how the body works. Now that takes some great knowledge of anatomy and a great knowledge of physiology and how it all works and how it all comes together. Mm-hmm.
You're on mute, Dre.
I was saying, were you saying something, Mr. Mosley?
I'm just agreeing with him. Just,
oh,
yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yes. Yeah, moving forward, Mr. Mosley, I'm gonna ask you a question, if that's okay. One of the questions I have is, you taught us previously in an interview that athletes should start to think globally and act locally. I wholeheartedly believe in this approach. Talk about how do we extend that knowledge to, you know, our fellow coaches in our community.
Yeah, well, I mean, we can. The way the world's set up now with technology, right? This is Tech Talks, right? I mean, we can share our message all over the world, right? But I think that sometimes we get caught up in the social media side of it. We might get caught up in the media side of it and don't realize that your next door neighbor or the kids in your community or the coaches in your community need your love and they need your leadership as much as anything. And so, you know, I think in the context of that conversation, I think we were talking about branding maybe and about, you know, image and likeness and things of that nature. And we have this ability right now to take a message and put it to the masses. But when you walk outside your door, it's your neighborhood, it's your block, it's your community center. And you got to serve the ones that are in front of you, the ones that are near you, the ones that you can physically touch as much as you try to serve the, you know, the greater good of the world. Right. And so I really think it's important that we act globally or locally, right? We act locally, but go ahead and think globally. How can I change the world? I change the world one kid at a time. I can change the world one neighbor at a time. I can change the world one school assembly at a time, right? And so really imperative, I think, for us to go ahead and keep that global vision, right? I mean, I want to change the world, but I got to start with my kids who are in the other room right now doing online learning. I got to start locally. And so kind of that was the message that I try to give to coaches is don't get so caught up in players.
I have to add on to, I mean, most, I think that's just so key. I mean, you said something that's just it's like mind blowing to me because I think that all the time. I think back to my neighborhood where like we still have this whole consumption about sports is you only can play the game. If you're not playing the game, then you're not involved in sports. And that got me. I talk to my friends back home about this all the time and other coaches, how people don't even know what I do. And I've been doing this for 21 years and I go home and they're like, strength and conditioning? Like, what is that? You know, and I'm thinking like, guys, you know, it's other things that evolved around the sport, right? You know, it's trainers, there's athletic trainers, there's therapists, it's so many different avenues you can be a part of. And, right. You know, and that's something that I really, when he says teach the teacher, I want to teach kids, you know, kids that you deal with what I do. So they know that, hey, I can go off and be a strength and conditioning coach. Maybe I don't play in the NBA, but I can be involved in the NBA in so many different ways.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. What I'm hearing from you both is, as we've already covered, is both of you want to be more than just coaches. You want to, you know, explore realms within social and emotional learning. Shout out to Coach Spivey, you know, and that whole platform that you both have worked so extensively on. I want you both, starting with Mr. Williams, to talk about how much social emotional learning is impacting pro players or the lack thereof.
Well, you know, that's a really, you know, kind of little tough question in the fact that I think socially, I think we're making ourselves so much aware of what's going on around us, you know. Sure. And I applaud so many athletes and not even athletes, strength and conditioning coaches and trainers of socially making themselves aware of what's going on around them, you know, and socially being involved in things that make an impact. You know, for me, on my personal, my social is to bring awareness to what I do. So kids who can't go to the next level have an avenue to go to. And that's just my impact. That's the way I can put, I talk to people about this all the time. I'd rather see a kid helping someone in the weight room than out doing something that's not beneficial to him and his family. So that's my only way I could talk about how this whole social thing that we deal with impacts my life and what I'm trying to accomplish.
How do you feel that intersects with strength and conditioning?
I mean, I think just to keep it simple, it gives you an avenue of having a job. Yeah. You know, an avenue of work in providing for your family. You know, that's what my dad tells me all the time. It's simple. You find something you love, you put all you have into it, and you provide for your family. Now, the benefit for me is that I have something I love. It allows me to be a part of the sport that I love. You know, absolutely. So that's just a simple way I can put it for me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I like that.
Mr. Mosley, one of the programs, you know, social emotional learning that you've built, you know, that you've been working on with Coach Spivey, you know, respectfully, Coach Spivey, talk about some of those, you know, avenues and how they've impacted some of the kids that you've worked with. Mm-hmm. And speaking as a parent, once you give us kind of that insight, I want you to give advice to a father. I want you to give advice to a father about how important social emotional learning is to be coupled with training and wanting your kid to be successful, and how important it is to not have one without the other.
I love it. Well, I will. I want to say, so the name of my company is Triple Impact Coaching. Triple Impact Coaching. And I think, Richard, you'll like this. Triple Impact stands for three things. Triple, right? I'm a teacher, I'm a leader, and I'm a caretaker. You call me coach, right? My name is, you call me Coach Mosley, but I'm a teacher, I'm a leader, and I'm a caretaker. And I think when I came up with that name 4 or 5 years ago, I didn't quite understand the social emotional piece intentionally. I didn't understand it on purpose. I understood it because I've worked with young people for so long. And then you realize that sometimes when a kid is mad or upset at practice, it's because he's sleeping on a couch. Yeah. It's because he's at his uncle's house and they were up late at night and he had to pull the covers over his head to try to get some sleep. So I didn't understand what social emotional learning was until I dealt with some of these young men that I dealt with and started to learn why they treat me the way they treat me. Well, because I'm a black man that they love and respect. And the last black man that they ran into, they didn't have that feeling for them. And so I had to learn this kind of on the fly. So I wanted to make sure I said that. Teacher, leader, caretaker. That's what I believe. The social emotional impact, I think I do things during my training sessions with the intent now on purpose to work on social emotional development. So I say, for example, at the beginning of a training, I don't do it when I'm with the older kids as much. I change it, but with younger kids who have a tendency to not want to talk to each other, who are a little more shy, we get in a big circle and I'll start my trainings, just about all of my trainings, and I say, hey, partner up and brag. We call it bricks and swishes. Partner up and share a swish. What happened this week that was a swish? Did you get a good grade? Did you get a cool Lego for your birthday? Did your parents take you out to eat? Just brag. You get to share a swish. Then I'll say, now share a brick. What happened this week that was just a brick? It was a challenge. It was a struggle. It was a problem. And how did you handle it? And we give young people a space just to talk. I don't try to solve any problems during those 3 minutes. But those 3 minutes create an environment so that now I can yell and scream and I can be loud and I can discipline kids, but they don't resent that. They actually welcome it because I've given them space to share something good and something bad. And so we do that. And at the end of our workout, we do a spotlight. Every workout, every age, we do a spotlight. And so everyone put, I call toes on a circle, right? You have the center circle. We go toes on a circle and we say compliments. Spotlight, you get to spotlight a teammate. And you will never see anything more powerful than a 6 or 7 year old kid looking at another 6 or 7 year old kid and saying, you did a good job working on your left hand. And then now that kid who got spotlighted, he's got to step in. And now he's got to say, you did a good job shooting today. And then at what we find by week 3 or 4 of doing this, kids are saying stuff like, I remember when you were here the first week, Rich, and you couldn't dribble with your left hand, and now you did it with your left hand. Like, kids are starting to pump each other up, and now you create an environment that is open to compliment. Because we know brothers don't like to compliment, right? As we grew up, it's hard for another brother look at another brother and say, man, I like them shoes. Or, hey, man, like, you did a good job today without feeling, you know it's something cultural for us from sometimes, right? It's difficult. And so I try to create this environment where young people – they get rewarded for complimenting each other by how they feel. You feel good when you compliment somebody else. And so those are just a couple things that I've kind of implemented. The advice that I would give to dads, I told this to the parents whenever I start a new class, I always pull the parents together and to kind of explain who I am, where I'm from. And one thing that we talk about is at the end of a workout, at the end of training, if you can't look at your kid and say, I had fun watching you play, or I had fun watching you today, then you need to really examine who you are as a parent and kind of what your expectations are. Now, again, we're not talking about elite level, and I train all American players, right? I've worked with every Seattle player in the NBA, right? All of them. I've done work with all of them at some point or another. But if you're not, as a parent, saying that to your middle school kid, your elementary school kid, hey, I had fun watching you today, Dre. That was fun watching you play today. If you can't say that as a parent, then I think you really got to examine what this relationship is with your child and what your relationship is with the game. Like, what do you want from your kid? And, you know, my son plays basketball, and he had a really rough game yesterday. He looked lethargic. He looked tired. He looked like he had some dead legs. It looked like he played a double overtime game against the Knicks, right? His legs was tired. And now my competitive nature wants to be like, hey, man, you better hustle. Hey, man, you better do this and that. And then when he came over, my competitive, the dad side of me is like, man, what's wrong? What are you doing? But the social, emotionally aware dad in me says, man, I had fun watching you. How'd you feel out there? Oh, my legs felt a little tired. And then what we start to understand when you do that, too often we grab that low-hanging fruit as coaches. Oh, man, you should have shot that. The kid knows it. Oh, man, you need to hustle. The kid knows he needs to hustle. Anybody can point that out.
Exactly.
And so I had to throttle it back and just say, hey, man, I had fun watching you play. How'd you feel out there? And he told me, my legs were tired. And I said, okay. And we kept it moving. And so my advice to a parent, mom, dad, is, man, you got to be able to say that. I had fun watching you play today. And I think when you say that enough times, it gets easier and easier and easier. And it, I think it just opens up different conversations. So man, I go on forever. So go ahead.
Hey, Trey, coach, I got to say this. I mean, first of all, that's genius. Second, second, we do that even on the high level. Like when you said something, I kind of smiled in my head because I'm thinking like, I indirectly do that, right? So I make a habit every time a guy walks into the weight room, the first thing I ask them, man, how you feeling, man? How's your family? Everything good? You know? And it's, first of all, my point is, I really want to know how they're feeling. Like, you know, what's going on? Everything good? But my second thing is, that tells me what my workout's going to be about.
Yep.
So if my athlete walks in, he's like, man, I don't know, man. I'm just tired. I didn't sleep. You know, I got this on my mind. You know what we're going to do today? Let's just get a pump workout. Let's just get you going. You know, and so when you said that, I'm like, golly, coach, that's so genius because I didn't know that I was doing that. And the information that you find out about your athlete is over time. And, you know, we spend so much time with them. You start to find out how they work. And one good thing I learned, and it took me later in my years to learn, is that how connected you have to be with their families, not just them. Like, I give you a perfect example. One player, you know, I really wanted his nutrition to be on point. I just couldn't figure out, like, I couldn't sink it in his mind. Like, we got to do this, got to do this. I was like, you know what? Take a step back. Hey, bro, invite me over to your house. Can I come over? Yeah, come on over. So his mom was there and his grandma's there. So we sit there and I didn't even talk to him. I talked to his mom. And I said, do you cook for him? She's like, no, the grandma does. Hey, grandma, you cook for him? Yeah, baby, I like to cook this and I like to cook that. I said, you know what? You know, like, help me out. You know, together. You know, grandma. You know, they gonna cook for the baby.
Oh, yeah.
That's gonna happen. So I'm like, you know what? I think your son can take it to the next level. I think he's missing one thing. I think he's missing the nutritional part of it. I said, I'm taking away his talent. His mom and dad gave him unbelievable talent. You gave him this talent, but I think if we correct his nutrition, the talent that you gave him is gonna take him to the next level.
Yes.
Like, wow, baby. So talk to me about nutrition. So we get to talking about nutrition. I said, you know what we should do? Let's get him a chef. And you and the chef will work together and you guys will work as a team. And then we can take him to the next level. So about 2 weeks later, he comes to me and say, man, I feel wonderful. My grandma, my family, we're all eating healthy. So coach, what you said is what we have to do on the next level.
Yeah.
See, that's why I believe that you are so important. Because when you install those things at a young age, when they get to me, they already know what to do.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
Yes, that's genius.
That's why I believe
genius.
In what you do. Because when we get coaches like you, those kids, you know, it's only going to be one of them that might have a chance to make it to that level.
Right.
But that
next
kid is like, man, Coach Mosley does this with me all the time. This is always doing these things with me. I'm like, oh, shoot, Dan. My job's easy.
Yep.
Absolutely.
That's genius. Getting grandma on board, though. You got to get grandma on board. Ain't
oh, you
no
better
way around
go
that.
To grandma. But it just goes to your point of just, you know, actually sitting down and taking a step back and saying, okay, I could be the father that say, man, you better run on those days. I could sit back and really observe the situation and really pay attention to what's really going on.
Yep.
Absolutely. So I applaud you for that, Coach, because that's just spot on.
Thank you. Good.
You really answered my next question without me even asking was how do we get younger with the information? Mr. Williams, Coach Williams, give advice to a young coach.
I mean,
explain to them how much emotional support and learning support becomes a part of your job. You just explained to us in one fell swoop about the science of strength and conditioning, because what you put in your body, you know, also impacts your mood. you know, you just explained to us that it you have to go beyond just the player and into the realms of emotional and learning support by connecting with the grandmother. Exactly. That right there, connecting those three dots, mm-hmm. essentially builds a platform for a player that they can stand on.
Well, I think it's doing exactly what Coach Mosley was doing. I mean,
absolutely.
Take away the technical stuff, right? Sometimes you got to take that away, right? I always tell people, I think I lasted a long time because I'm most definitely not the smartest. I could tell you that. It's a lot of other strength coaches that are a lot smarter than you, but one thing I was always able to do from the basketball side of it, from playing basketball, I was always able to connect. Just like Coach Mosley, I think you got to sometimes take the technical stuff out, the technical mm-hmm. talk and the signs of strength condition, then you got to get to know the end of. I don't care what level they are. They want you to know them. They want you to know how to click. Everybody's different. If you don't take the time to learn that, I don't care how smart you are and how much you know about strength condition, how much you know about coaching, your chances of being successful is going to be really slim. You know, so if I don't take the time to know, even at these high level athletes, like where they fall nutritional wise, they fall short because in their family, that's not the culture. We don't eat healthy. That's just not where I come from. So I have to sit down and I have to explain the benefits of eating healthy, but not only to him, I got to explain it to his family. Yep. His family being healthy makes him healthy.
Yep.
So that's not, you don't, I hate to say this, you don't kind of learn that in the books. You just learn that by honestly doing what Coach Mosley is doing, connecting with your kids and with your athletes.
Hey, Coach Mosley, go ahead. Floor's yours.
Yeah, I just want to jump in and say, you know, I had a couple coaches that asked me, you know, hey, what's the first thing I should do? I just got hired. What's the first thing I should do? And I said, I know this is going to sound counterintuitive. I said, I would sit on the ground in a circle, cross-legged, and talk to my players. I would sit, you know, in a classroom, and what's your favorite music? What songs do you like? What shows do you watch? I would dedicate practice time to just building it. You don't got to remember all of it, and you don't got to agree with it, but you just want to give them the space to say it, and then you go, oh, okay, cool. That's it. We act like it. That's it.
I laugh, Coach, because it's one player that I always have a hard time getting in the weight room. And you know what I did, Coach? I say, man, who you like to listen to? Man, you know, Gigi, that's my man. Yeah. So our locker room is connected to the weight room, right? So as soon as he comes to the building, you know what I play? I play Gigi about as loud as I can. So he comes walking like, oh, that's my Gigi. I'm like, come on in here. Just come on in here. I'll be here in 1 second, Coach. You don't get it, Coach. I'm learning from you. I'm just learning like the methods that you, what you don't understand, Coach. The methods that you teach is what I take and I use them in the weight room.
Yeah. Mm. Well, you know, and it took me lots of years. Like you're doing it, you don't necessarily always know why or how sometimes. And that's what I had to stop and with Coach Spivey and some of my friends that are in the SEL world and say, how do I make this a part of everyday learning, right? And once I did that, then, you know, the sky's been the limit, especially with the younger kids. Yep, I love it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is amazing. Amazing. What you're talking about, Mr. Coach Williams and Coach Mosley, is why I brought you both here today to talk about, you know, the intersectionality and how we must get younger with this information and build pipelines for this information at every single level. I appreciate you both expressing, you know, your passions and your persistence. One question, final question I'm going to ask both of you is, in your respective fields, talk to us about where you see the future of training and strength and conditioning. Because I saw a quote somewhere, Coach Williams left us. You know, there's a difference between working out and training. Yeah. There's a big difference. Talk to us about, you know, where that's leading. We've had some off camera conversations about, you know, the science of strength and conditioning and how it's evolving. And where the technology is going, from both of your perspectives, from our youth and from our professionals, where do you see that evolving in the next 5 to 10 years?
I think I see it I see it really going to the youth. You know, I think I see it coming into the realms of what working, having strength coaches work with Coach Mosley, you know, and I think that's where it needs to go, you know, because it's so much more about strength and conditioning. Strength and conditioning, I think in the youth is behind. I don't think we know enough about it. I don't think our neighborhoods know enough about it and how it could benefit not only athletes, but benefit people who are disabled, people don't even talk about this, people who can't afford to be injured, right? People who, like, if I'm injured, I don't have an insurance to back me up to go to work. If I can't go to work, I can't make money. If I'm injured and I can't go to, so I think strength and conditioning is going to get into that realm when it's going to get into the healthcare, teaching people how to be proactive with their health so they can live longer lives. Teaching young athletes, we talked about the central nervous system, how the central nervous system works to control the muscles. As you all know, the muscles are, I'm gonna say this, the muscles are dumb. The central nervous systems tell the muscles what to do. So if you're a young coach or you're a young athlete, you wanna train your central nervous system first. And that'll follow with all the muscle stuff. So what I'm basically trying to say is the education of knowing what truly strength and conditioning is about. We only teach it to the prime athletes. I think we have to teach it to everyone. Cause you know, when you teach it to everyone, you're gonna get more strength coaches working with Coach Mosley. You're gonna get more strength coaches working in the neighborhoods where they don't know about health. That's where it needs to go. And I think that's where it's going.
Absolutely. Do you have any experience with that Calm app that players are starting to now get into, kind of like a meditation?
Yeah, I don't have much. I don't have much experience. Okay. I know of players that use it, you know. But that goes back to my point. I think we have a lot of people are using things, but do they really understand what it all means?
What it means, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, and how it all works and how what effect it has on the body. And that's where we need to, as strength and conditioning coaches and as strength and conditioners around, start to get more involved in educating.
Absolutely. Coach Mosley.
You know, I think I have I'm a certified mental performance coach. So I'm certified in mental performance. And that's part of where some of my, in the last couple of years, I've picked up, especially during COVID, because we talk a lot about the mental health of our young people. And I would say that that's partially where we're going, is we have to create a space. You know, when we play, when I played, and I'm, Richard, you and I are the same age. I'm a little older than you. I think I'm the OG on the call, but you know, we're from that same era where coaches called you names and said things to you that were mean and nasty, and then you just went harder.
Yeah,
right. Exactly. And when you go home and say, "Dad, the coach cussed at me," he said, "Well, was he right?" And then you had to answer that. Then you had to think, "Well, dang, maybe I am soft, right?" And so, I think what we are finding is we can't treat these kids today like that. And we can sit around and complain about how soft kids are, or we can find ways to reach them where they are. And so I think the way training is going, at least on my end, I won't speak to the strength conditioning side of it, but I think I'm doing more of trying to, you know, I'm running 3-on-3 league right now, right? We got 130 kids in a 3-on-3 league. Because I think the game is, you have to learn the game like that. When you see some of the foreign players versus some of the domestic versus international players, you see, I think 3-on-3 is something that teaches the game a little bit differently. So that, I'm kind of a big proponent of that. I'm going towards 3-on-3 more than 5-on-5 AAU tournaments. And I'm also just really trying to convince coaches, but I'm big on touches. So I walk in the gym. Before it was a high five, now it's a fist bump or an elbow bump, right, because of COVID. But I try to touch every young person in the gym. So if I got 20 kids, I'm giving out 20 fist bumps. I just am, right? Because, and I ask my little check-in, hey, how you doing today? Like, you know, like Rich, Coach Williams said, you know, like, I just want to know, how you feeling today? And they'll tell you, I'm okay. Okay. And then it kind of helps you get your radar going. So I think understanding individual players, their perspectives more so than just where I'm coming from. I think that's kind of how the game is evolving a bit. And then also from a skill development standpoint, you know, just trying to get kids to understand the basic skills, and you need to have all of them and start to figure out what you're good at, what you like doing. And you know, and you got to work, you know, there's workouts, like you said, and there's training. and they're different, and players have to work out, but they also have to train, right?
Exactly.
Those are two different things, and you've got to find a way to do both if you want to be at the highest level. But I would say the game is going to where we need to spend some time on that mental health. And sometimes it's just a check-in, and other times there's deeper issues, and you may not always have time. And I will say sometimes we expect a lot from our coaches, right? We expect, you know, I have parents that come to me, hey, my son's acting crazy at home. Can you talk to him? It's like, you know, I got the kid for an hour. I got the kid for 50 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, but at the same time, mom and dad are cutting you a check, and so you want to do what you can to support them, right? And so, but I do think that we've seen, you know, Ben Simmons was talking about he wasn't mentally. I just read the headline. He wasn't mentally ready for practice right now, and they gave him some time off. And I think, you know, in Kyrie's situation where he talked a little bit about having some mental health days off, I think we just have to be willing and able to accept that to a degree. Whether we agree with it, like it, doesn't matter. That's just kind of where we're going.
Yeah.
And I think the coaches that can adapt to that and say, looks like you're having a rough day today. Is that, you know, is that accurate? Yeah, coach, I'm not feeling today. Okay, well, what can we get out of you, right? Like, exactly. let's go to the next level. What can we get out of this? What do you want? What do you need? Instead of me having a bad day and coach calling me every name in the book to try to get me to play harder, right? So I think we have to adjust as adults. I think we got quick complaint. I don't complain about young people because they're the wave of the future, man. And so, and I'm old. I'm literally getting old as this game is growing. And if I want to stay in this game, then I got to be mentally young. I got to stay.
Exactly.
I got to keep up. And if it means I got to listen to Jeezy, then we're listening to Jeezy, right? That's what we're listening to today.
But you know what, Coach, just to add to your point, I think it's okay to when a player says, hey, man, I'm not there. I think it's okay to say, you know what? Take your time. Because you know what? Most of the time, they're going to give you even harder effort the next day. Because they, you know why they know? In my opinion, I think they, like, damn, he's listening. He's actually listening. Because you know how it is when you say, how you feel? Well, man, I'm just tired. All right, let's get going. You're not listening.
Not listening.
In your mind, you know what you want to do with that player. In my mind, I'm like, he needs to be in the weight room. But to me, it's okay to say, all right, you don't need it, right? You're just not there. Get yourself together. Get your mind right. Get to the place you want to be. Come see me tomorrow. I guarantee you get the player you want to come in there and do the things you want him to do. And you're right, Coach. You got to adapt to that. And it's okay to adapt to that.
Yep. Because the players are the players stay the same age, right?
Exactly.
They're the same age. It's us that are getting older.
Exactly.
Once Julius Randle and Derrick Rose retire, the next 25-year-old guy going to be
in there.
And you got to keep up with the next 25-year-old guy.
You know it. You know it.
And so we have to constantly, you know, reinvent ourselves and evolve. I want to say, hey, Coach, you know, I know you see my Sonics back here, Coach Williams.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm repping. But I did wear my blue and yellow. I wore my New York Knicks.
Hey.
I'm wearing my coaching shirt today.
I like that. Sonics, I appreciate you, Coach.
I got my Sonics ball, too, right? So.
There you go.
Hey, man, I miss coming to Seattle. When I first came to the league, that's one of the cities I just love going to.
Yep.
Miss it.
Well, we're going to see you again here in a few months, though, it sounds like,
I hope
too.
So. Oh,
we got something cooking for the community. We're gonna keep that under wraps for right now, and we will put that out as we get closer to the date. But before we even get going, thank you to the both of you for giving me your time today, and dropping gem after gem after gem. You made my job easy. I didn't have to ask many questions because you guys were both answering questions, you know, through conversation, which is what we wanted the audience to hear. The intersectionalities of, you know, the pro and the beginning of a child's career in sports. I would love to have future conversations with you both to talk about, you know, how your progress has evolved, you know, from this conversation to the next. Some of the things you've learned in between now and then would be something that I would, you know, dream of doing. So if that's okay with both of you, I would love to extend that offer and
absolutely
and you know, have that platform, you know, established. Coach Williams, please, please, when we're saying things like, you know, think globally, act locally, feel free to share all, you know, all information on what you're working on in Africa. I feel that is amazing. If you want to just give, you know, the audience kind of an insight on what that means to you, because I try to keep it to myself, but
I know, man.
I want you to promote that
about Africa, you always want to get a big smile on my face, because that's my heart, man. I got a connection there, and it's always been my dream to bring strength and conditioning to Africa. I think it's a calling. That's all I can say. It's my passion to be able to, you know, go there, create, let them know, let the athletes, not just the athletes, just kids who want to get into the field, let them know what I do and how I can benefit them in teaching the teachers in Africa and creating more strength coaches in Africa that can do great things and provide for their families. But I mean, that's my goal. That's my passion. And that's what I feel like that's what I'm here for.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you.
I have to say this. Hey, Coach, I just want to give kudos to you. I didn't get a chance to say this earlier, but I mean, with what you're doing with the youth is truly amazing. I think it starts there. And I think you guys don't understand, when we get good coach working with the youth, it trickles down to the pros and it makes our job so much easier. You know, so all I ask is that you keep pushing, and if whenever you get a chance, let the kids know how important it is to take care of the bodies. And it has to start there. They have to start educating themselves now. Trust me, now, because when you wait, just the mindset of waiting sometimes can put you behind in how you should take care of your body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that.
That's amazing. Coach Mosley, talk to us about what you got coming up in the future. Any tournaments, any events coming up, going on, so we can promote that to our audience.
Yeah, we're kind of in the midst of all. I call them basketball classes. I teach 5-week basketball classes, right? And so we're in the midst of those. I got another one starting next week, and then we're in the middle of 3-on-3. We've got 130 kids. We will come back though over Christmas break, and we'll have multiple camps throughout the area: Issaquah, Tacoma, Puyallup, Federal Way, and then we will start another 3-on-3 league in Faircrest, just right outside of Tacoma, in March, February, March. We'll start another 3-on-3 league. We'll have I'm gonna call it a train and play. So we'll train one day a week, and I will teach them a movement or an action, right? Like a passing screen away or a passing cut. And then when they play on Saturday, they at least have some foundation. And so we'll start that in February, March. I'm going to Denver, Colorado next weekend. We've got a girls basketball camp, high school girls, with some of the best players in the area. So yeah, I'm on the move, man. Then go to my website. You look me up online. I'm moving and grooving, man.
Awesome. What's the website?
TripleImpactCoaching.org.
Gotcha. Thank you. Yep. Thank you.
TripleImpactCoaching.org.
Coach Williams, any announcements for us?
My announcement is they got me working hard with the Knicks, but we're in the process of creating our first clinics in Rwanda, Africa. And awesome. I'm excited about that. We got plans to go to Rwanda, Ghana, Senegal, and hopefully in the coming year, we'll be able to provide a program where they can get certified as strength and conditioning coaches, but also creating a program where they can also go and get their degrees as well, from graduate to undergrad. So that's what I'm really excited about, hopefully getting some young kids in Africa to be able to go and get educations.
That's amazing. Would love to hear more about that and follow you on that, on your journey as you grow that organization. With that being said, I want everybody who viewed, listened in today, I want you to know my appreciation. This has been a wonderful episode of Technical Talks, and we're out.